This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, and your subscriptions and donations are welcome this month of November. Bob is extremely generous in his patience for big space. He's extremely expansive in his enthusiasm for private space. And somewhere in between are the billionaires. That would be Mr. Musk and Mr. Bezos. We lead today with Mr. Bezos, perhaps asserting success for Blue Origin. Congratulations. The second launch ever was successful, launching packages toward Mars. But at the same time, I puzzle if showing off the footage of this event indicates that Mr. Bezos has been a little anxious about his non-performance these many years. Bob, what is your opinion? Good evening to you.
John, for good reason, you have skepticism about Blue Origin and New Glenn, and I don't blame you for that because it took them five more years than it should have to finally launch that rocket. It just took them too long. But in this case, no. What Jeff Bezos did is he released good new video of that first stage landing of New Glenn when it launched last week. And the first stage came down like a Falcon 9 first stage, and it landed on a barge in the Atlantic like SpaceX lands on its drone ships. But he provided video from a drone a distance away so you could really see it clearly. And what he was showing us is the sophistication of their software landing technology. Very sophisticated. This doesn't mean it's better than SpaceX, but it surely matches SpaceX because they had the stage come down several hundred feet to the side of the barge. And he says they do this to avoid a severe impact if engines fail or to start or start slowly. In other words, they don't want to crash on their barge. And so they come down to the side. It hovered to the side. His video is really spectacular to look at. And then it very gently moved. Once it was settled above the water, but in a good position, it slowly moved itself sideways and brought itself gently down onto the barge. This is similar to what SpaceX actually does with its Starship Super Heavy coming into the chopsticks. They come in sideways and then move. They come in from to the side and then move sideways to move in between the chopsticks to be captured. But here, this is New Glenn's first stage doing kind of the same thing. Now, they say that over time, they'll incrementally come down more and more directly over the stage because it saves fuel, over the barge because it saves fuel. But in these early attempts, they're going to be careful and they're going to do it this way. And so I just show this because they're in good shape. Those 10 years of flying New Shepard suborbital flights and landing its first stage consistently have provided them a lot of software information to be able to do this on a much larger orbital rocket. And for this reason, there's good news here with New Glenn and Blue Origin.
I stand aside and move to big space in the presence of FAA. Now, Bob, FAA has been careful not to extend welcome to space launches during daylight hours. Have things changed?
Yes, so the shutdown ended. We talked about this list last week. Because of the shutdown and the limitations of air traffic controllers, you need to coordinate launches with air traffic, and they didn't have the people. So they put in a curfew that said no launches could take place from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. FAA, early this week, ended that curfew. They not only reduced, they also ended their limited flights out of 48 major airports, and so normal schedules could resume. But they also said for rockets, launches can now take place during the daytime, and those limitations are now gone. It's interesting, the report, the FAA press release had another detail, which has, I don't think it has anything to do with rocketry, but it does have to do with air traffic. The FAA is aware of reports of non-compliance by carriers over the course of the emergency order. The agency is reviewing and assessing enforcement options. I don't know what kind of non-compliance by any airlines were in this matter, but if the FAA does penalize anybody, this would be a very typical example of government pettiness. But then I don't expect better from governments and bureaucracies. What can you say?
SpaceX is working for NASA to get something done. What'd they achieve?
SpaceX was hired by NASA to launch a radar satellite to measure the ocean surface to see if the ocean is truly rising and we're all going to die of flooding. And they launched, this is in a series of many years of ocean monitoring satellites. And so SpaceX launched it earlier this week. to me, what was significant about this was the 150th launch by SpaceX this year. That is more than double its closest competitor this year, China. It is more than everyone else combined in the year. And what I note on Behind the Black is that since SpaceX began to up its launch rate significantly in 22, only, 4 years ago, the entire launch industry never completed this many launches in a single year. The best it could ever do is about 135, but usually it struggled to get to 100 launches. SpaceX is doing this better all by itself. And it's proving that these global numbers over the last half century are indicative of the failure of all those previous launch attempts, because all the previous launches were by governments. This is private enterprise now, and private enterprise is wiping the floor of what government tried to do in the last three quarters of a century. And so the transition to capitalism and freedom since 2010 has finally begun to pay off, I think, right now. And SpaceX is not going to be the only one if we see New Glenn begin to succeed and Rocket Lab and others in the next coming years.
China's space program is not transparent. There are taikonauts on board their space station who have no way home unless. Bob, is this an emergency or are they just practicing?
Oh, this is an emergency. This is the first time in the history of space exploration that astronauts have been on a space station with no lifeboat. They have no lifeboat on Tiangong 3. The astronauts on board there, there are three of them, they came up on a Shenzhou 21 capsule. So, yes, they came up on that capsule, but the previous crew used that capsule to return because its own capsule had a crack in one window from an impact of some kind. It couldn't be used, and it can't be used now. It's still docked to the station, but it can't be used to bring people home. And so China has got to get a rescue mission launched and a new capsule launched. And they said they are hurrying to prepare a rocket. And the Shenzhou 22 capsule, that was going to launch in April originally, but they're now preparing it to launch with just cargo on board to come up to the station to act as a lifeboat. Now, it's not clear when this launch is going to occur. They have not set a date. Various sources I've seen on the web say it would be difficult for them to get ready in anywhere from 10 to 20 days. It would be difficult. So in that time period, that's almost a month from now, these astronauts will have no lifeboat. Let's pray nothing goes wrong on Tiangong 3. There are other rumors they're going to try to launch in a week. I don't know if those are real or not. We'll have to wait and see. But either way, until they get a capsule up there, you have three astronauts on board the Tiangong station, John, that have no lifeboat. This is kind of comparable to the Titanic. Not enough lifeboats for the people on board.
Is the station overtasked with that many people on board?
No, it has a normal crew. It has three people. There were six there when they brought up the new crew, but the old crew took this crew's capsule away to get back to Earth. So there's no capsule on board you can trust to take the three guys back. They brought the crew back probably because they figured, why should we strain the resources of the station? Let's have it a normal-sized crew up there right now.
Bob, in the old days, or maybe more recently, does NASA always have a backup capsule ready to go in case of a catastrophe?
NASA has nothing. NASA doesn't, for decades, NASA has nothing. Right now, NASA has nothing at all because remember, it's provided by SpaceX pretty much its launch. It wanted to have Starliner as a redundancy, but Starliner for Boeing has not flown yet. SpaceX has the backup capsules. If necessary, it could put together a capsule and launch relatively quickly, as it did last year with the Boeing crew on Starliner that didn't want to send them back on Starliner, so SpaceX sent up a capsule earlier to bring them back. Once again, this is the first time ever that a crew is on a space station with no lifeboat on board.
So the protocol for SpaceX is to have a plan B if things go sideways.
SpaceX has a fleet of five capsules right now. If necessary, NASA could call on them to bring up another capsule. But you see, they don't. That's generally not needed because they've launched their capsule with the crew. The capsule is the lifeboat. When the crew comes home, they come home with that lifeboat. There's always the capsules that they come up with are always attached to the station so they can come down on them. This is unusual because they don't have that capsule right now.
What I'm seeking is to know is whether China skipped a protocol here, cut a corner.
No, they didn't cut a corner here. They just had something go wrong that was unexpected. The same thing could happen, by the way. We don't know exactly what caused the damage. They're being very coy about that. So there might be some protocol. There might be a cut corner there somewhere, John. And maybe it wasn't space debris, you know, which you can't control. Maybe it was something else. But this could happen on a Dragon capsule as well. There's no question of that. There's not so much of them cutting corners. This is a case of, I think, they just got caught with an impact that was unexpected. But, you know, once again, they're not transparent, as you say, so it's very possible something else caused this, like quality control, something wrong in their development. It broke because they didn't do something right in the building the capsule. Those are all possibilities because we don't know.
Anybody who drops boosters on people is suspect in every instance.
You're right.
All right. So we are, in other words, unproved. Fine. We move on to to Europe. And the Vega C rocket. What about it, Bob?
All right. So this is part of the transition that Europe has been doing now for the last 2 years to go from the government model, where the European Space Agency's Ariane Space commercial arm owns and builds all of Europe's rockets, and all of Europe's launches are done by the government Ariane Space company. They're moving from that model to the capitalism model, whereby Ariane Space does nothing or little. Instead, the European Space Agency buys launches from independent competing rocket companies that own their rockets and control them. And as part of that transition, the European Space Agency has been transferring control of the Vega C rocket from Ariane Space back to the Italian company Avio that builds it. Avio builds this rocket, but it's never been allowed to sell this rocket. It has to give it to Ariane Space, and it acts as its agent and runs it and then gives Avio a cut. In other words, nice business you got there. Same as something happened to it. We're going to control it. Well, they're not going to control it anymore. And so this week, the European Space Agency's Council signed an agreement that basically transferred full ownership over to Vega C. It will be selling and launching its rocket from now on, independent of the ESA. And it'll be competing for contracts from the European Space Agency for those launches. This same deal, they also finalized. Ariane 6 is now controlled by Ariane Space, but with a partnership at Ariane Group, the private company that builds the rocket. So once again, you're shifting away from Ariane Space and putting the companies that build the rocket in control. This is a good thing for Europe. They're getting out of the Soviet model and into the American capitalism model.
Thailand rejects Starlink. Is there a story? Is there a backstory here?
All this has to do with local politics, John. A lot of times SpaceX has had trouble getting permission to sell its terminals to citizens in other countries because SpaceX is an American company, and those countries have local laws often that forbid foreign-owned telecommunications to sell products in their country. And so, for example, in India, SpaceX had to sign a deal where its terminals would be marketed by the telecommunications, India's telecommunications country companies. They get a cut that way, and SpaceX sells the terminals and operates in the country, and people can buy the service, but the telecommunications get a cut. In the case of Thailand, their local laws forbid foreign-owned telecommunications companies, so therefore they have said SpaceX cannot sell terminals in their country, period. This is interesting because Vietnam right now allows Starship terminals to be sold without restrictions. So I fully expect that pressure on Thailand's government is going to eventually force them by their citizens to change this, because their citizens are going to want Starlink, especially when they see Vietnamese people having it easily and without problem.
The puzzle I have is Starlink a mechanism that can be accused of purloining information in some fashion in a country? Suspect as a spying tool?
It is undoubtedly, it takes control away from the government because it's bottom up. The individual buys the terminal and runs it and can see anything on the internet with it. Takes all control away from the government. The irony with this story is that Vietnam is a communist nation, dictatorship, and yet they've allowed Starlink entirely. They're kind of like switching to capitalism model. They really are. While Thailand has always been an ally of the West, and yet they're forbidding it. And I think in this case, it has more to do with local laws. And you know, local telecommunication companies want to have their turf. They're protecting their turf, and so they're using politics to try to protect it. It'll change, I'm sure of that, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. Subscriptions and donations most welcome, especially because we're turning to an interstellar traveler. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.